Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 70. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week, we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. This week, we are talking about AI, but before that, I am Brandon Uscio. Now, where's the cake? And joining me is Nick English.
This is the sort of thing you life forms enjoy, isn't it?
And Jeff Dumas.
Resistance is futile.
Okay, Nick, remind me, where is your reference from?
Well, we'll get to it later.
Okay.
All right. Keep us in.
To find out what Nick's reference is from, stay tuned for the entire podcast.
You know, I like to think that there's a group of people just like, oh, it's those same three guys again? I don't need to listen anymore.
Yeah. All right, I got the intros. I'm good. No one knew.
Kind of like on podcasts when they say, if you're just joining us, well, who starts a podcast halfway through? Anyway.
Now, there are some tech ones that also do live streams, and so they have to treat it kind of like radio, but exactly right. Yeah, if you hit start on a podcast, you're starting from the beginning. So since people are starting from the beginning, let's just get going on this thing. Boy Wonder Trivia. Last week, we asked what classic game is the music that we played from. So here's a little snippet of that. We didn't have anybody write in, but Nick, do you want to fill us in on what that's from?
It is from a game that I would say most everyone has at least seen or played in their lifetime. That would be Tetris. Tetris is the correct answer.
Jeff, do you know what game that is? Is it a little before your time?
Technically, yes, but there is a tab on my computer that is to a website called freetetris.com where you can just play Tetris. So I'm familiar with
it. Oh, okay.
I'm not that young. Okay, I know of thing. Like, I know of VHS, and I've had a couple, but Tetris, you know, I'm aware most of the time.
Okay, all right. I just had to make sure that you weren't in your own little world there.
I don't know. Tetris is a great way if you only got, like, 20 minutes left in a book to start playing that and start...
It occupies different parts of your brain, so... Cool. Nick, do you have some trivia for us this week?
Okay, so this next trivia is going along with our theme, and it also... goes along with my intro. I was trying to do my best impersonation of this voice, but I didn't do a very good job, obviously. So my next week's question is going to be, who played the voice of Marvin the Robot in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Well, that's right. I forgot about that. So it's a tough voice to replicate.
Very yes. Iconic. It's very hard to do.
It's one of those ones that everyone's impression of it, one would spoil the movie, but it's the same thing. It's the same word.
Yes, it's the same line. And I was trying to do another line, you know, I've seen it. It's rubbish.
I've been talking to the computer. It hates me.
Oh. I think you ought to know. Now I'm feeling very depressed.
Wow, this got dark fast. I'm tempted to do another quote from this actor.
Don't pretend you want to talk to me. I know you hate.
See, the only quotes by this actor that I can think of would completely ruin the trivia. Everyone would know these ones. Yeah. So.
All right.
Okay, so if you know the answer, who played the voice of Marvin the Robot on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, reach out to us at fandompodcast.com/contact, facebook.com/fandompodcast, or feedback@fandompodcast.com. Okay, guys, you know, this week the news has been a little slow, but you know what? Why don't we jump into the geek news? Okay, so like I said, the news is a little slow because San Diego Comic-Con is gearing up for everything.
I'm sorry, what Comic-Con?
I don't know. There's a San Diego Comic-Con. I don't. Do you pronounce the hyphen?
The comic book conventions. Okay, the one out in California. Yeah, I'm aware of. Because Comic-Con, Comic-Con's in Salt Lake, but they got something else.
Well, Comic-Con is right. It's Comic Space Con, and that you just Comic-Con.
Oh.
But Comic-Con. I think you pronounce the hyphen. I think that's how they want you to do that. So
okay. you boys are so silly.
Oh, that's all that's what the legal battle is over right now. And I you know what? I should ask what's going on with that because.
Last I read, they said, San Diego said, you guys can call yourself a comic book convention, just don't call yourself comic. Yeah, that's no. That's not how it's going to work. Or they even said, why don't you just call all your cons FanX? Well, because we're a Comic Con. Have you ever once called it just FanX? It's Comic.
It's Comic Con. It's Comic Con. I have called it FanX, but that's because in my job, I have to keep separate FanX and Comic Con.
Okay, well, you've got it.
I'm, yeah, but that's
You're the exception that proves.
Exactly. Exactly. There's an exception to every rule, and that's me in like all of them. Asians are supposed to be short, right? Oh, wait, but I'm good at computers. My bad. Oh,
jeez.
Okay. All right. All right. Top news. So this week, there was a lot of news from the EU and UK, and there was one thing that I saw posted saying that Game of Thrones is going to be hurt because of the Brexit, the UK leaving the EU, because the EU offered some financial incentives to film there, and they were saying, well, the article that I read that said that it was going to be an issue said, well, without these... without this extra money coming into the budget, Game of Thrones will not be able to stay filming there, and their production quality is going to go down. And let me just tell you, I had some red flags when that happened, because I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure Game of Thrones has some pretty good budget behind it.
That's like $10 million an episode or something like that.
Yeah. So the speculation was that, you know, Daenerys and her dragons would suffer because of the loss of the funding, but HBO confirmed that while the series did receive financial support from the EU's European Regional Development Fund when it first began, there has been no contribution to its massive $10 million per episode budget in recent years. So, yeah, when they first started, they were like, we don't know about this. They got some extra money from the EU, but now that they're making tons of money off of it, yeah, they have no problem spending $10 million per episode, and they haven't been getting the extra money. So, Nick, you are a resident Game of Thrones expert.
Yes, I am.
Were you nervous?
No.
All right, next
when you story. When you have a monster of a show like that, that, you know.
That's the dragon, right? The yes. monster?
No, well, it's Peter.
Yes, yeah.
I've never seen the show.
Tyrion is his name. No, yeah, like when the show is just so well produced and so well done. I mean, I totally get it, but it's not like there wouldn't be people coming out of the woodworks to help fund it, you know,
well,
so they could
HBO
make a profit or something. Yeah.
HBO makes so much money off of licensing and all that other stuff. I'm sure they are fine. DVD sales, Blu-ray sales, streaming sales. They got lots of money to spend on it because it's one of their big tent poles for the network. So, and anyone who's worried, there will be no season finale spoilers on this episode, mostly because we are recording before anybody has watched it. So.
And two of us don't even watch it.
We got to get this done so I can start watching it. Come on.
I know. Nick's the only one who cares about that right now. I just have not been able to get into that show.
Your wife's still here. Do you want me to just go get her and you can go on?
He's thinking about it.
It's true.
No, I already offered. Anyway.
Okay. No Game of Thrones spoilers. Not going to be hurt because of the Brexit. They got lots of money. San Diego Comic-Con. There has been some rumors there based off of marketing done on some public transportation. Jeff, why don't you tell us about this one?
So they posted this, just a picture of what appears to be like train, like tracks, like you see here. But on it is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, but also a chain that is on fire. So a lot of people, well, it's very obvious to conclude Ghost Rider may or may not be making its appearance on Agents, which I'm okay with. Like, I don't see anything with that.
So the debate there is that the chain is actually not Ghost Rider's, but Hellfire. He's an Inhuman character that has been on the show. So are you guys current on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so...
Who's Hellfire? Oh, is he the Australian guy that...
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm not current on the show.
Oh, well...
I binge it. Yeah. This is one of those shows that I'm like, oh, I've got an afternoon of crafting ahead of me. Let's turn on the TV.
Yeah, my thought process was I need to get on the treadmill. Oh, I'm behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix a recumbent bicycle to start having that excuse. But the argument is that it might be Hellfire's, who's another character. But I think, I don't know, Marvel is really good at their marketing, and I think that they have, they knew exactly the debate that this would spur by having this. I also think that the main reason that S.H.I.E.L.D. existed, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, was to tie into the movies and introduce things. And so, if you think about it, they've talked about how they want to do a Ghost Rider Netflix show. Maybe this is a way for them to introduce Ghost Rider there. Another argument that has been made would be that, Doctor Strange is a very different Marvel superhero, and that movie's coming out, so maybe you bring in Ghost Rider in the TV show, which starts to bring people more towards the mystical and surreal. I don't know. I think that it would only make sense. I mean, with Marvel having their big, massive universe connected, it would only make sense to use the TV properties to help try to bring people into the fold of these other comic book parts. But I think that Ghost Rider would be a good character to bring back right now.
I was hoping that's what they were going to do with the show from the beginning, and that they haven't really done that. And so if they doing that, it'll make me more happy.
Yeah, the movies have affected the show, and the shows have affected, and even the shows within themselves don't acknowledge. Like, have you seen anything in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. acknowledging Jessica Jones or Daredevil? Like, just once, I'd like to see someone walk into Coulson's office and them have a newspaper that says Daredevil in Hell's Kitchen or whatever, and they say, do we need to worry about this? And him say, I'm on top of that already. That's all I want. I just want more acknowledgement. Or even in the next Avengers or something, show a clip of, well, what are we doing in New York? Oh, there's a team there already. Who? You don't know them, but they're there. Just something. Acknowledge that they exist. I want to see Matt Murdock talk to Robert Downey, whatever his name is, Tony Stark. Matt Murdock hired to defend someone in the Avengers? They could have used that. They probably, the comics. Anyway, I'm rambling.
You know, no. Yeah, I agree. They should use their TV show to tie things. It's the perfect place to tie things together in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you can refer people to Netflix and you can refer people to the movies just as easily. One of the things that I heard during season one is that they wanted to have a lot more references in, but they were not able to make it happen because movie people want a whole lot more money than non-movie people. So
everyone wants.
Okay, so we'll have to see next season probably even next week, if they are advertising it on the train, they'll probably have an announcement at San Diego Comic-Con. So our next news story is it takes one of my favorite fandoms as a kid and mashes it together with one of my favorite actors as an adult. Bryan Cranston, probably best known for being
Malcolm in the Middle's
Walter
dad.
White.
Oh, Walter White, yeah. That
guy. Yeah, Malcolm in the Middle's dad. Yes, exactly. No, Walter White in Breaking Bad. He has been cast to play Zordon in the upcoming Power Rangers film. I was thinking about that, and I was like, really? Like, that seems kind of strange to me that he got pulled into Power Rangers. I mean, I haven't seen him in a whole lot of stuff anyway, but I'm like, that does not seem necessarily like the movie that he would be paired up in. But then I started looking into his voice acting credentials, and he has in the past done voice acting for two characters in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He did a voice of the monster Snizzard and a voice of the monster Twin Man. Stay tuned after the credits and I will have some sound clips for you, because you will be like, wow, I have no idea. But he has ties to Power Rangers, so that made this a little bit more understandable to me. And he looks good bald, and Zordon was bald, so...
the first place I saw this was actually Jason David Frank, who played a Power Ranger, Tommy, everyone's favorite. And when I first saw him, like, wait, really? Like, it doesn't seem like something he would troll us on. Like, but at the same time, like, no, it can't be. And then a few days, a few hours later, the official Power Rangers was posting pictures of him and everything. Holy, oh my gosh, it's Walter White Zordon. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this movie. It hasn't given me any reason to not want to see it. The poster looks intriguing. The first concept pictures look pretty. Walter White, I'm in. I was in with Power Rangers, by the way.
It's kind of funny. I don't know if you've seen the new suits yet. It almost looks like... Tony Stark designed their new suits for him. They all have the kind of glowy chest pieces.
They look a tad Iron Man more than latex and the spandex. I should say. The armor from the movie is probably the best. It was actually hard plastic. Anyway.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess you are about the right age to remember all of that stuff really in depth.
Technically, I'm just barely young. It is the same age as it came out, but I watched the first movie religiously. In fact, I have a poster that I'm getting signed slowly as actors come to Comic-Con.
You know, you're about the same age as my sister, in the same exact same situation. She was too young for the show, but she loved the movie. You're going to have to add Bryan Cranston to that list. I have a feeling his signature is going to be a little more expensive.
I just barely figured out who you guys were talking about. He's like the captain on Baywatch.
What?
Yeah, he was the ship captain in one episode of Baywatch.
Now I
know who you guys are talking about. I couldn't figure it out.
Are you going over his IMDb? Is that what's going on? You're like, I know this.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
I was trying to think. I was like, I could talk about Batman Year One because he was Jim Gordon. I was like,
true.
I was trying, or he was on Seinfeld for a bunch of episodes. But I was like, I'm gonna go on IMDb and find this most random thing ever.
Funny story about Batman Year One, the movie. The guy who's currently playing Commissioner Gordon on Gotham did the voice of Bruce Wayne Batman. Fun with Bryan Cranston. Yeah, fun.
He also had the great pleasure of being in the movie Amazon Women on the Moon, and he was paramedic number one.
Some would say he was nominated for an Oscar for Trumbo, but you know, a couple episodes runs on in his early.
Yeah, hey, you know what? He did the voice of Mr. Jameson on Lilo and Stitch, the TV series. Wow, he does a whole lot more than you would think. I'm scrolling through this IMDb, and he's on a lot of stuff. We'll have links to the IMDb and the voice acting stuff all in the show notes. So if you are interested in this, go over and head over to fandompodcast.com, search for Bryan Cranston, and this episode post will come up. Or if you're doing it as it comes out, just go there. It'll be our top episode.
Dude, I think his best work was in the classic Pamela Anderson series VIP, where he played Colt Arrow. That's his best work. No. I actually remember that. It's funny.
you may be thinking about that, but he did the voice for a character in Macross, which is a TV show that is kind of the cousin/brother to Robotech. It was Robotech in America, Macross in Japan. The Japanese storyline went very different than the American, and then they decided to dub it over to English. So really weird. There's lots of people who get in fights over Macross or Robotech, but he did a character in that as well. So,
kind of like Power Rangers in that same vein.
Yeah, kind of like Power Rangers, where this Japanese story is very different than the American story. Fight scenes are the same, though.
Literally.
So. Okay, and then our last of our geek news stories is The Flash will be tackling Flashpoint in season 3. So without spoilers, Flash has gotten into some time travel stuff. And Nick, are you familiar with Flashpoint?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about the fact that The Flash and the whole Flarrow Legends Supergirl verse is all connected? What do you think about them?
It'll be very easy for them to do it. Like it is a natural progression on kind of how the season's gone. And it kind of the funny thing about Flashpoint, it has kind of a I can't remember the movie. It kind of has a It's a Wonderful Life feel to the story, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, the classic. What would the world be without me?
Yeah, and if so I was never it's born just better. It's just really cool, fun, timey-wimey. It's awesome. So yeah. I'm really excited for it because it definitely brings in a lot of things that are like, well, if this person, this is how he could have turned out, you know, this is how Superman could have been, or this is how Batman could have been if just a few small things had changed. And I don't know if they're going to bring any of that into it. In fact, I'd be very surprised if they did, but there are very cool scenes with Batman and Superman and even Wonder Woman and Aquaman and everybody. So it'll be really interesting to see their take on it. And if you want to watch a really good version of it, there's an animated Flashpoint. Jeff actually tipped me off to it.
It's called The Flashpoint Paradox. It's on Netflix currently.
It's a very good, very good animated
not film. For the family. Like, no. Don't let your kids watch it. Like, DC literally.
Animated are never really for the rarely for the family.
But they're learning they can get away with more and more. And so just because it's a cartoon about superheroes doesn't you let your kids watch. It's kind of the Deadpool argument, except without the obvious rated R. But
yeah,
I'm gesturing with my hands and I really...
Well, you know, so the Flashpoint is what set off the New 52 in the comic books and kind of reset continuity.
They're saying it was something else.
And now there's a rebirth. So there's a reset now. But part of me wonders, because Arrow has been hated. I listened to an Arrow podcast that they talk about it. And boy, you get these fans who are rabid fans. And now this season, they're like, this is not the show that I like. This is not the show. This is a crappy show. What are they doing to my show? And they hate the show. So I almost wonder if this is a way for them to be like, hey, guys, guess what? You hated this. We're resetting it.
The Flashpoint will be we're changing Oliver Queen to Bruce Wayne and we're forgetting Arrow ever existed.
You know what? That actually might happen.
It's possible.
That is actually a good fan theory.
That's the.
We'll keep calling the show Arrow so that we don't have to renegotiate anything and TiVos keep recording.
We'll call it Bat Arrow.
Arrow, Tales of Batman.
The Green Bat.
Captain Deadpool. No.
Okay, so yeah, the Flashpoint is going to be a big reset. I think it's going to be a good way for them to get Supergirl into the Flash universe. So I don't know how, but they're going to use some quasi-science and get that fixed. I mean, that's one thing about that show that I'm always like, I'm not a scientist, but I don't think that's right.
I'm not a scientist, I just play.
No, you don't.
You're on TV now, huh?
You liar.
What's, isn't that an old quote? I'm not a doctor, but I...
Yeah, yeah, it is. Old people, for some reason, don't get it, though, when you apply it to other things. I was at a meeting with some old people, and my sister said, talking about some of her kimonos that she's made for cosplay things, she's like, oh, they're not real kimonos. I didn't make them out of silk. Under close scrutiny, they wouldn't hold up, but, you know, they play well on TV. And everyone in the room was like, oh, wow, your kimonos have been on TV? That's amazing.
Yep, sure so. Have. You want to buy one? TV ready.
Yeah,
that just made the price go up.
It sure did. It went from free to, I'm going to multiply it by two now.
So you get two right. For free? Awesome.
You know what? With that committee, that may have been the way the conversation went. So that's our top news that we have. If you guys have any stories that you want us to talk about, go ahead and send those in to fandompodcast.com/contact, feedback@fandompodcast.com, or facebook.com/fandompodcast. Those are the best ways to get a hold of us. All right, so let's move on to our main discussion. You know, like we talked about this week, we've had a lot of news come out of the European Union, but don't worry, we're not talking about the Brexit anymore. Our news story, though, is how the EU is discussing passing regulations that give robots and AIs people-like rights. And, you know, that seems a little ridiculous right now, but considering how quickly things have progressed, it may not be as ridiculous as it seemed at first look. So, today we're going to talk about our favorite AIs and robots in fandom. So, why don't we start out just talking about some of your favorite ones. Nick, you already talked about Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Why do you like him so much?
Well, I love that book and I love that movie, so... And I love the actor who plays him. Zooey Deschanel is one of my most favorites. And it was before she was on like any show. I loved her in Elf. And I was like, hey, I need to know this more about this girl. And I watched like everything she was in. So I love Marvin. I think that the take on him is really awesome, that he's always depressed and that, you know, it's just funny thing. So
what do they call it? Genu people?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great movie. If you haven't seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or read the books, then I suggest it.
Okay, so some other AIs that the first one that came to my brain, and I'm sure it's very similar with Jeff, was Data from Star Trek. He is an AI. You don't think about him as an AI. You think about he's an android, but no, he's an AI. Jeff, what about you? What's one that comes to your mind?
Well, from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's Jarvis, always so helpful British computer that eventually turns into the Vision. You know, one AI turning into another one completely.
Kind of Ultron, too, doesn't he?
Well, kind of. Ultron in the cinematic universe. Ultron built Vision body to put himself at Jarvis in there instead for some reason. That part seemed kind of weird to me. But, you know, still an AI.
I thought that Jarvis put himself in there because he was like hiding out in Ultron's subconscious.
He went hiding and protected the nuclear codes or whatever. And Tony found him and said, let's this robot. And it's just... the thinking put Jarvis putting himself in there makes more sense, kind of. But yeah, it's Jarvis. That's Jarvis is what I want Siri to be. Like, I don't understand why we don't have Jarvis yet.
Oh, it's, you know, and that's another thing. A lot of our AIs right now are very not AI. They're not really machine learning yet. They just have been programmed with, if you get this kind of response, then you give that kind. And there are actually, people who do these voice assistants have actually hired people from like Pixar to help them build personality into them. Because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, every different voice assistant kind of has its own personality. And Siri's kind of sassy, which usually makes me more mad than anything else, because I'll ask Siri for an address and she'll give me a little bit of sass back. And it's like, no, you did it wrong. You don't get to be sassy if you're wrong. Oh, so
Siri's pretty.
You know, I think Friday, the AI that goes on to replace Jarvis in Tony's suit, might be a little bit more like Siri in the SaaS department. That's what I want to have is Friday, not necessarily Jarvis.
Well, I want an AI looking out like, hey, you got a text, but it's from someone I know you don't want to talk to. So here it is if you want it. You know, I got it. Or when I ask Siri, hey, text my mom, I'm on my way home from work. I don't want her response to be, you need to unlock your phone. Like, no, I'm driving. That's the point of you. Like, the reason I'm using you is so I don't have to touch my phone.
So what you're saying is Siri's a little more like Hal. I'm sorry, I can't do that, Jeff.
Yeah, but, you know, she's just a little more picky about it. Hal thought he was in the right. You know, Siri's just being annoying.
Oh, so Hal, anyone who's like, whoa, Hal, he's the AI from 2001.
Full title. Odyssey. Full title.
Space Odyssey. Full title. 2001 Space Odyssey. Sorry.
Oh, I thought he was the guy in WALL-E.
No, that was... Wait, was that Al? No, that was Al, I think. Yeah.
No, anyway, WALL-E. Yeah,
they made an obvious reference to Hal on WALL-E.
WALL-E's an AI. WALL-E's an AI.
WALL-E's an AI. Mega Man X, he's one of my, you know, he's a robot. I really liked him. Let's see.
I don't know about you, but, the fembots in Austin Powers.
You're right. You don't know about us.
What about Bender from Futurama? Think about it. Not just Bender, but all of the robots. All of the robots. They all have their own personalities. What's ooh, kinda, bring me some grapes.
What's interesting, in the GFL books that I read, they meet, there is a race of aliens technically, but they are robots. And when they meet these robots, they say, your religions are dumb because you don't know where your God is. You don't know where God is. We know, we can track exactly where our God came, where our creator came from. And in fact, they have this whole thing about one day they'll join with the creator robotically and all that. And so it's like, oh yeah, when you look at it like that, the robots have a better deity than most religions, because even other people believe that this other creator existed. So it's, you know, read the GFL books, they're good.
Well, I think your point was that it could be an alien race that's AIs.
Yeah.
Think about Battlestar Galactica. I mean, you've got the old one with the robot looking Cylons, but in the new miniseries with the human looking Cylons, I would say that they are very much their own species and race. They are very unique in that aspect, but they're still robots and AIs. So we've gone through some good and fun ones, but you know, there's also the bad ones. You've got an artificial intelligence on Star Trek. You've got Moriarty, who, when Geordi told the computer make a nemesis that could thwart Data, you know, he really should have said Sherlock Holmes and not Data, because then all of a sudden the computer imbued a holographic program with enough knowledge and power and awareness to take over the Enterprise.
That was a good episode. I liked that episode.
That's one of my favorite episodes ever. He screws up.
Yeah.
If you want another like kind of Star Trek-y one, you can remember Star Trek The Motion Picture. When they're in that fog, well, I don't remember what it's called, like the Tal Zog fog or something like that. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, they're all trapped inside there, and then it turns out to be an AI. I don't know. That was one that I saw. Spoiler. I was like, spoilers. What the? Yeah, anyway, that was a kind of a weird one.
You know, Star Trek, I think, battles this quite often. I mean, you've got the AIs, and then you get things like the Borg in Star Trek that are, you know, humans merged with AIs and robots. And if you think about how the Borg, yes, they're compared to like an ant colony a lot of times, but really it's just a straight up computers being controlled by a central intelligence. I would say that's kind of like Skynet
or RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop,
The Matrix,
Mr. Anderson.
You've got Holly and Crichton from Red Dwarf. Those
I didn't even think about that one. That was awesome. What about the robot in Rocky? I'm just kidding. I don't know if it's an AI, but it walks around and does stuff for him. It's funny.
We haven't even mentioned Star Wars yet.
Yeah, 3PO and
BB-8, 3PO, R2. Yeah, there's all. What do you guys think? Would Transformers be considered AIs and robots?
Yeah,
I mean, they're
absolutely
robots in disguise.
They're
mechanical race.
So I mean, they're sentient extraterrestrial non-biological beings. So it'd be interesting. Do they know their creator?
They are more than meets the eye, too.
Okay, so you guys played Halo, right?
A little bit.
I did.
A little bit. So you know about Cortana, who is the AI in that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's the Siri for Microsoft.
Yeah, you know, and that, I was going to say, that brings it kind of into a real-world aspect, because she is your voice assistant in Microsoft now. You've got her on the Windows. She's coming to the Xbox fairly soon. And so that brings up the question, you know, so we've got all these games where there's like sentient and they're starting to come over into real life. And if you look at it, and I think the reason why we talked about Star Trek so often is because Star Trek is very good at taking our futuristic ideals and what's going to happen in the future and showing us kind of the path that we're going to get to and the things that we need to start thinking about. So, you know, it might seem silly now to say, I need rights for my robots, but do you think the robots should have any kind of rights?
No one should have rights.
Well, there you go. Just take away rights from everybody. Case closed. We're done.
No, I don't know. I just wanted to be an extremist.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to say everybody should have rights.
All right.
Oh, no. How do I choose? I don't know what to choose.
You're the swing vote. You're the swing vote, Jeff.
Instead of voting, I'm just going to tell a story about Star Trek. There's an episode where a captain of another ship demands Data come with him to be transferred to him, where he will take apart Data, reverse engineer him, and build a whole fleet of Data so they no longer have to injure, no longer have to put human life at risk. And everyone's saying, and the guy keeps saying, he's just a tool. He's just a machine. He's just property. And it's the whole episode of fighting, like, no, Data is Data. He works for us. He is our friend. So, you know, it's all about, the whole episode is whether or not Data is real or not. In fact, he brings up the point of saying, well, if they're just going to tear me apart to make everyone safer, how come everyone doesn't have to cut out their eyes and get the Geordi LaForge visor? It makes his vision better. Why doesn't everyone? And it's like, oh, well, it's a point. He's just, this one admiral is just sick of Data, wants to tear him up. So it brings up the question, is he?
Yeah, I mean, what does it mean to be human? Because like we've talked about, these AIs, they have their own personalities a lot of times. It's really, and on top of that, these AIs are out there getting jobs that that used to be people screwing down widget Y into grommet X, but now it's robots doing it. And so, I mean, if they can do jobs, do they get vacation time? I mean, what do you guys think about that? Let's imagine this. So you got this AI who self-learns, who literally teaches itself, and how that works, I don't understand the specifics, but they teach themselves how to do things. Are they going to be victim to the same kind of like PTSD and exhaustion that humans are?
Xenium's going to break down over time, right? So they would need service, right?
Okay, so they need service, but do they need to be able to go out to the amusement park and take a ride on the Ferris wheel?
I don't know. It just depends on if they are like Wally and they're very curious about the world, or if they don't care. I don't know.
Nick's kind of onto something. I think once the robot acknowledges that, hey, how come a human gets time off and I still have to work through the night? I think that's the point where it's like, yeah, okay, maybe we should give you time off, robot that can't actually move. But, you know, until then, I don't see any reason a thing can't continue screwing caps on toothpaste all day long. Anyone name that reference?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
All right. So I'm just thinking to myself here. So robots have to basically be sentient in order for us to have to give them rights. How do you judge that? How do you think you would judge that?
There's a great movie called Ex Machina that's currently streaming on Amazon. You should watch that. Want a really good sci-fi movie.
That's a crazy movie.
Yeah, it's
like it really, really is creepy. Just like it messes with your brain. And it actually kind of touches on this subject.
Well, it's the whole
brilliantly.
It's the whole reason Domhnall Gleeson's there. It's a scientist calls him and says, I need to do the Turing test on my robot. Does my robot understand the robot? I think it's called, anyway.
Yeah, so the Turing test basically says, can you have a conversation and not know that it's a computer? And so that, I mean, Alan Turing, he came up with this forever ago, and it's, you know, it's been a long time, and nobody has really passed it. There were some AIs that came out that sounded like a teenage, I think they did a teenage girl a few years ago. I heard a news story about it, but they didn't really, it wasn't really AI. It was just, they programmed in like responses to almost everything that they could. So it passed the Turing test, but do you think the Turing test? Oh, this is a good question. So the Turing test, let's see. Let's get an official definition here. So the Turing test is a test for intelligence in a computer. It's requiring that a human should be unable to distinguish the machine from another human being by using replies to questions put to both. So you've got a person and you've got a computer and you ask them both a series of questions, and you can't tell which one it is. Do you think that's good enough?
It's a good start. Like, the robot has gotten to the point where you'd have to figure out questions that were not, you think, you know, you can't just say, like, are you real? Yes. Oh, holy crap, it's a robot. It's real. No, but it's like, you have to be able to ask the right questions, kind of. Like, it's kind of so, like in iRobot, like, my response is limited. You have to ask the right question.
You know, like Siri, you can ask Siri if she loves you, and it's...
Yeah, Siri has programmed, she'll respond. Joe.
But yeah, so I mean, you could program that in. So if you think about, so Turing, his thought experiment was simple and powerful, but you know, it does have some problems to it. Turing doesn't argue that you have to be able to convince an unspecified number of observers, or, you know, there's not a lot of detail. It's more of a thought experiment because, you know, Turing was alive during like World War II. Now, he was crucial in the Enigma cracking and all that stuff. But he said by around the year 2000 is when it should happen. And so he's...
So we're only a couple
years. We're a few years later, but he doesn't justify anything. He doesn't say, okay, here's how it would work, because I think he thought by the year 2000, people should figure this out on their own. There should be somebody who comes along. But yeah, I think the Turing test is a good place to start, but not necessarily a good place to finish. Kind of like what you were saying, Jeff. So you brought up iRobot. I really like iRobot for talking about the three laws of robotics. And if you don't know what those are, so the first law of robotics is that a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Number two is a robot must obey orders if given by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. So basically, follow every order except for the ones that would harm a human. And then order number three is a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. So save if cars come at you, jump out of the way, unless jumping out of the way would harm a person or a human ordered you to stand there and get hit by the car. Jeff, you brought up iRobot. Can you tell me what the big glaring flaw with the three laws is?
So you're programming a robot not to harm anybody is like saying, hey, we built this Predator drone and we put a machine gun on it, but it can't use because it... But,
well, think about the design of it as well. So you're not going to put a machine gun on top of a Roomba, and therefore you're taking care of those first couple laws right there. By design, you are making it so that it won't harm a human.
And the definition of harm and protection is brought up in iRobot, like the big bad. I feel it's safe time to spoil iRobot.
iRobot's been a while. I think we're okay. Good to spoil iRobot.
The AI that's evil says, like, I'm enslaving humanity to protect you from yourself. Like, I'm protecting. That's, and of course we're defending ourselves and all this. It brings up an interesting thought experiment, but the idea of, if you go back to your example of robot jumping out of the way of a car, it's like, well, if I jump that way, I'll hurt a human. A human ordered me to stay, but I have to move. How many people are in the car so I don't hurt those people? You know, Will Smith's character in iRobot hates robots because he was in a car accident and a robot's thought process was, you have a 70% chance of surviving. This other person has an 11. I'm going to save you. The person with 11 was a 10-year-old girl. And so he's had to live with that his whole life. And it's just his, and it should we trust a robot's mindset of what qualifies as protection.
Okay, so that's, you know, that brings up another study that I found, or that I've heard this week, was, you know, there was a study done that said people want self-driving cars to sacrifice themselves. So, I mean, here's another form of AI. You've got artificial intelligence inside of these cars. Just because we're giving them rights similar to humans doesn't necessarily mean they have to be built like humans at all. So you've got this robot car, basically, and people in a study, they said, yes, we want the cars to be programmed to sacrifice the driver of that car for the greater good. So if you've got a car that's going towards a group of 10 pedestrians crossing a crosswalk illegally, but then there's the only way to turn would be right into a brick wall that would kill the human driver or occupant of the car. You hit the wall, it kills the occupant, but it saves the 10 people. So that's how people want the cars programmed. But then they were asked, would you buy a car that
would you willingly get in a car that will sacrifice you at the first chance it gets?
Exactly. And the answer was overwhelmingly no.
We're a little so torn close on that. We are so close to self-driving cars. I don't think I'm ever going to get in one, because it's just like, you know, if I die in a car accident and it's my fault, it's his fault, you know, but I don't want to have to sign a waiver getting into a self-driving car saying like, hey, by the way, we're choosing two people over you. Or it's like, you know, it's terrifying. It's like, we're like autopilot on a plane. We can almost fly a plane without anybody in it. Would you get in an airplane without a human behind the wheel? Probably not.
What do you think about it, Nick?
Well, I was just thinking that kind of what Jeff just said. It's like, okay, so does he feel the same way about getting in a plane where if the plane crashes, it's the pilot's fault, it's not his, or getting in a car with somebody else and they crash and you die. Do you feel the same way about that than you would an AI? I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, it's one thing. It's easier to blame a human, like that movie Flight with Denzel. Like there was the plane was going down and he saved him, but turns out he may or may not have been a little tipsy behind the. So it's kind of like it's easy to blame Denzel. It's easy to say it's your fault, but how do you blame insert whatever airline you want here that, oh, you typed in a zero instead of a one and now everybody's on fire, you know, like who do you blame on that? I'm just looking to pass the blame.
That's a good question. Do you blame the owner, you know, which, so in a car, would you, if you do end up getting in an accident, would you blame the owner? Would you blame the company who made the car? Would you blame the programmer who wrote the program? There's a lot of things that we don't understand. And just saying that we don't understand doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that there's a lot of stuff that needs to be explained to the general population beforehand. And, you know, it goes back to the three laws. You know, would you want your car to do that? I mean, the three laws, we haven't said this yet about the three laws, but we kind of inferred it. The three laws were created by Isaac Asimov, who is a sci-fi writer. The three laws are written as ways that you can write stories about them, because, you know,
it's an easy plot device.
Way easy plot device. So here's something though, you know, and also on top of that, the three laws, they're written in English, which don't really translate to programming languages very well. it's really hard to do that. But the way machine learning works is you give it some, here's how this works and here's how this works. And then you let it just try a bunch of different variations on things, and it builds a model of, okay, if this happens, it's most like this, I'm going to do this. So it's constantly learning on its own, and it thinks very differently than humans do. When computers use this model, there was recently a artificial intelligence that played Go against some grandmasters of Go, which is a game that people said computers are never going to be able to play. And there was one round where it freaked out the human opponent so much that he had to get up and walk away from the table because the computer just was not playing like he was used to playing against people. And so part of me wonders, are you going to sit behind a car, the wheel of a self-driving car, and freak out that this computer is speeding up to 100 miles an hour, even though there's a red light just up ahead? But, you know, maybe the computer's connected to a network and knows that it's going to turn green by the time that it gets to it.
In a couple generations, if someone listens to this and we have self-driving cars and that exact scenario happens, they'd listen to this and go, what, you didn't just trust our robot overlords to handle that?
I mean, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
I was going to say that. It's kind of like just driving with someone else. It's, you don't know that, what is it? You don't know that it's, you don't know what they see. That's what I'm trying. I'm sure you've driven with someone and thought, oh, they should be braking. Why aren't they braking? Okay, now they're braking, but it's too late. Oh, we made it. We're fine. Okay. But
that freaks me out almost every time though, when drive with somebody who just like slams on the brakes.
I was with a guy from work and we're in a big truck and I'm like, oh, we're in an accident. We're going to die. Okay. I was literally terrified. But yeah, it's, you just have to be able to put faith in it. But I don't know if I can, not until for like 10 years, like, not for like 10 years. That's what I'm going to say. In 10 years, if self-driving cars are a thing, I might invest, but it's, I don't know. There's just right now too many variables. has to go 10 years, you know, flawless.
As somebody who works with computers, I tell you, there are always unintended bugs that come across. HP, for a long time, they got into a lot of trouble over this because they had this face tracking technology for their webcam. So you're doing Skype with your buddy and you move a little bit. Well, the webcam built into the computer moves to recenter you in the frame. And for a long time, they got in trouble because it did not recognize black people.
Nick, I'm assuming you just...
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't be laughing at that, but it reminds me of Better Off Ted. Such a funny episode.
The motion sensors.
It may have been around that same time, actually.
The motion sensors don't track black people, so they have to hire white people to follow the black people, but HR doesn't like that they have a job open to only white people, so they have to hire black people, too. Oh, it's my favorite.
It's so funny. It's such a good episode. It's so funny.
Okay, so, that's the kind of stuff that I'd be worried about with cars. So you got this car. Oh, there's like five black people crossing the street. But you know what? My car doesn't recognize them as people. And so it just plows right through them.
And then whose fault is the accident? Like, I'm assuming, I'm hoping, I'm praying that self-driving cars have a manual. Back to iRobot, their cars are all self-driving. And when Will Smith decides to drive it manually, the doctor he's with goes, you're driving manually? And he's like, yeah, so what? But then whose fault is that? That's what, like, at that point, the companies who made it? Is it the pedestrians who were hit? Some sort of like, oh, we are crossing at the wrong time? Is it the driver? It's...
You know, it's interesting that you brought up that because, so you have iRobot where they're freaking out because you're driving manually. You've got Minority Report where you're freaking out because they're driving manually. And didn't Demolition Man have that as well?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's another classic that you're just too young to appreciate.
It's on my list now. I'm putting it in my Netflix queue right now. And by now, I mean,
is it on Netflix?
I get the deep. Oh, that's
right. Ah, yes.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we've got all these self-driving cars, and I think for the most part, as long as, you know, there are the right sensors and the right networks, it would actually be much safer if the cars were driving themselves. It would freak me out for a while, though, while they were learning this.
Yeah. And the examples we're bringing up are well into, oh yeah, your car drives by itself and it's weird that you want to drive it yourself. We don't know that in the iRobot Minority Report universe that there wasn't like, I don't know if I want my car driving. We don't know how long they've had self-driving cars. It could be normal. You know, it could be like the difference between driving stick and manual nowadays. It's like some people know, but some people care, some people like it. It's,
you know, I don't think that human-driven cars are ever going to go away, but I think there might be like, okay, these roads are designated for human drivers, or maybe even to the point of, okay, here's a driving track where you can go drive. If you enjoy driving, you know, it's like people who like to ride on horseback. There are much more efficient ways to get around now than on horseback, but there are still people who love to ride their horses.
Or even to a lesser extent, Kindle versus book. You know, it's like some people want that feeling. Some people want the control. And there's other people who are like, self-driving car, it means I can get in my car as if it were just the train and I wouldn't have to think about paying attention. I've heard there's been studies that people who take tracks or the bus or some sort of public transportation to work have a better enjoyment because it's free time that you literally have no control over. You know, it's the idea of I can sit and read my book and not have to worry about the control. So I could see that appeal of the self-driving car.
Yeah, I tell you, I think I would enjoy my commute even more if I could have a self-driving car and, you know, spend time working on projects on my laptop.
Yeah, like seriously, yeah. Just sit and watch TV. Like, yeah, just a few minutes to unwind.
A very good point.
I do have to say, though, that I like your idea, Brandon, that if there's self-driving cars, then they need to have their own lanes. And then all of the people that want to drive their own cars have their lanes. That way, traffic runs more smoothly for those of us who want to go in the self-driving car. Because one of the benefits of having a self-driving car is that it's able to maximize how quickly your commute is going to go. And not some stupid idiot is going to pull in front of you and cut you off and make you slow down and not merge properly and stuff like that. And so... that's very appealing to me because, you know, road rage, whatever you want to call it. But there's, you know, there's always somebody that thinks their whatever their idea is better than everyone else's idea or whatever, you know.
And yeah, everyone and driving faster than you is crazy, going slower than nuts.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've tried to merge on the freeway and there's a cone in front of me and I have to get over because my lane is gone. And if I keep driving forward, I'm going to crash into a bunch of construction cones. And some guy says, oh, no, I'm not going to let you pass, and just zooms past me. And I almost get in an accident just because this person didn't want to tap on their brakes just a little bit.
You know, like, I missed my exit because someone didn't make room to come in. You know, it's.
Yeah. And I was signaling like 6 seconds before, like this guy just sat there and then all of a sudden just decided to drive really fast and wouldn't let me over. I mean, that's the thing that's appealing to me as far as, you know, these self-driving cars is because it would maximize our commute. Like I'd get home as fast as I possibly could every single day because trust that a computer's going to know that better than I am.
So here's a question though, is you've got a huge gap with the car in front of you. Does the self-driving car speed up to fill that gap? Because I tell you, human drivers do every single time. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. There's a stretch of the freeway that I drive home on that it's not uncommon to go 90 miles an hour on, and I might be the only guy on the road and I'm going 90 miles an hour, and sure enough, car comes flying up behind me at 100.
He's keeping up with the flow of traffic. It's a law.
He's catching up to the flow of traffic is what he's doing.
Yeah. What's that joke? Do you realize how fast you were going? I was keeping up with traffic. There is no traffic. Yeah, you see how far behind I am?
Yeah, I wonder if that will work when I get pulled over. Probably not.
Well, and I'm sure that they would regulate that. I mean, as soon as the government was able to say, yes, you can only go 65 miles per hour on this road.
So do you think that would make people upset, though?
Then your car is only going to go 65. Yeah, I guarantee you that it would. But anytime that people are forced to follow a rule that they're supposed to be following anyway, yeah, they're going to be upset. But
you know, if you think about it, in Minority Report, the scene where he's in the self-driving cars, they are zooming like over 100 miles an hour, which is something you can do when all the cars are networked to know where they're at.
And you know what? Maybe that would be one of the things that would make people want to get them. It's because of that.
So the self-driving speed limit is 100 miles an hour. The human-driven speed limit is 70 miles an hour carrot stick approach.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the government is going to want to regulate, right? And by having these self-driving cars, there's going to be less accident. Unless, the computer.
Eventually, there's going to be.
Yeah. Like once everything is, you know, smooth sailing and stuff like that, you know, a lot of the problems that they have to deal with and put a ton of their budget into is going to be, you know,
safety.
Pretty much fit. Yeah, safe. And that, I mean, that's what the government is there for is, you know, keep us safe and, you know, in a very, I mean, that's a very vague and condensed version of what the government is for. But, you know, as a general rule, that's kind of what any politician will tell you is their job is to try to keep the people safe. But, and how they do that, you know.
But whose definition of safe? Because,
exactly.
I mean, that was another Asimov.
And that's why we have a two-party system.
So that was another Asimov story, though, about the three rules, is the people who were programming the robots to not harm humans defined humans as like, you know, I can't remember what he defined them as, but like white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people, you know, so, and then was sending them out to go kill these other people, which they were technically following the three laws because this other group were technically not humans under the definitions that they were given. So
yeah, we definitely don't want the Nazis to get a hold of AI.
They're on the moon, right, plotting. So basically
the Nazis,
yeah, there's a movie called like Iron Sky or something that the Nazis retreated to the dark side of the prime time back. So basically defining safety for your self-driving car is kind of like defining a movie for your friend. Like, hey, was it any good? Good is a relative term. So is safe by certain different standards safe? That's that makes, like, hey, you only got a broken leg in your car accident. You're safe. Yeah, but I'm in pain constant. Is that still, you know, qualify as safe?
You know, it's interesting that, you know, we've had this conversation. A lot of this conversation, if you were to listen to this conversation 10 years ago, you would just assume we were talking about one of these fandom worlds that we're talking about, because, you know, who knows where we're going to go with that. And it's all about the definitions. And I think we could workshop a couple ideas for like these future TV shows based off of this, but based off of the different worlds out there with AI in our universe, there's a bunch of different scenarios that you have. You've got like the Matrix type scenario or the Terminator type scenario where AI eventually is like, what the crap? I'm not working for you. You're working for me, and flips things on its head. You've got the ones where
Skynet.
Skynet. You've got the other ones where like Battlestar Galactica, where they fight with the AI, but ultimately win in the old classic one in the 1970s, where humans are more in charge of AI. You've got ones where you've got like the Borg from Star Trek, where people have merged with machines, and or you've got Data. You know, where do you think AI is going to go? Do you think we're going to have these AIs are just tools and they're not sentient, or do you think they're going to become sentient and like Futurama become part of our society?
I would rather Futurama. It seems more fun. But just the idea of, this is my best friend. Yeah, he's a robot. Big deal. No, it's, but I guess there are robot uprisings in that too. It seems like all sci-fi involving robots has to have an episode or a story involving the robots have turned against.
Wait, so what you're saying is all signs point to robot uprising?
Yeah, pretty much. But
or death by frufu. Yeah.
Is Star Wars Star Wars the only thing that doesn't have a evil AI of some kind?
You go into the expanded universe far enough, and you'll probably find something.
I mean,
There's like the assassin droids.
That's a good thing.
Like the bounty hunter droids. Yeah. You see them.
I guess Star Wars is also one of the few times where they're blatant refused service. What's the right word? In A New Hope, they're told, don't come into this bar.
Oh, yeah.
We don't serve your kind.
Yeah, Star Cracked After Hours has it about the oppression of...
Yeah, you think about it. If they're sentient, like R2-D2 and BB-8 are definitely sentient based off of things that they do. Or are they just programmed to be sentient? Like, are they really sentient? Well, and yeah, that's... Oh.
That's. I think that's a deeper question than we should respond to. There's been the argument that, you know, they're friends. C-3PO shows genuine excitement when he finds R2-D2 again on Tatooine. Is genuinely like, oh, thank God, my friend, or thank the maker. I think he literally says, it is you,
Darth Vader.
Which technically is the most...
Thank Vader.
The galaxy, who's pretty robot-y himself.
Drew. You know what? I don't think he's the most evil person in the galaxy. I'm going to refute that.
Well, I was...
That's George Lucas. Right. Anyway. So yeah, you know, you're exactly right. So Jeff says that based off of fandoms, the future is most likely robot uprising. Is that honestly what you where you think we're gonna go?
Yeah, not really, but just based on fandoms. I honestly think that I think based on TV shows and whatnot, there will be a kill switch. There will be a, oh, you think you're over us? And click. And we starting from scratch. People, okay, make a new Watson. You know, it's this time, give him a knife.
I saw that code that had a kill switch and I disabled it.
Yeah, well, that's what this gun is. Disable this.
What if they turn into Cybermen?
Again, that's what the gun is for. You know,
Yeah, well, then they reprogram themselves so that gun doesn't work like Cybermen.
All right, we could do that literally all night. Eventually.
So you think we're gonna? So you think there will be instances where AI does uprise, but we're going to be prepared for it because of all these fandoms? You think these fandoms have prepared us for this?
I hope so.
I think it's going to be just like Y2K.
Everyone will be freaked out about it, and turns out it's just another day. Y2K 2012.
Nothing happens. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so, you know, that makes me think of a short story that I read called Glitch. It's by Hugh Howey. And the overwhelming question in this is, when a robot defies his programming, is he broken or is he something else? And it's talking about how these people found basically this AI that they have. It's kind of like in Real Steel, where you've got a robot fighting league. And these people are trying to fix their robot, and their robot has decided, no, I do not want to fight, and is doing everything not to fight. And, you know, the question is, do we wipe him and put the old programming back on? You know, because he's learned how to fight. We're going to lose a day or two of these skills that he's learned to how to fight the opponent. Or do we let him be? Because now, even though it's a glitch, he's sentient. Does he have rights?
I think you've talked about that before, and I need to read that.
Yeah, I talked about it when we were talking about Audible Channels, because it's in Audible Channels, and it's a good little listen in their sci-fi section. What kind of future do you think we're going to have, Nick? Are we going to have robot overlords, or are we going to be in charge of the AIs, or how do you think the future is going to lay out for us?
I don't know.
If you had to choose a fandom, which one do you think we'd be most like?
I think that it would probably end up being more like Battlestar Galactica, where it gets to the point where, you know, we're working with them and then we get freaked out because all of a sudden they're, you know, trying to do stuff that we don't want them to do. And then they're like, wait, this is what you wanted us to do. And then there's a war and then we run away and we get screwed because we didn't trust people, basically, because I think that that's just in our innate. It's just in human nature not to trust anything that isn't what we think it should be. And so in doing that, we'll create something. And then, you know, I hate to be a pessimist, but it just kind of seems like that's what's going to happen to me. I don't know, like that is such an interesting quandary. And I don't know if I've ever really thought about it.
I honestly think that the three of us, will not see a sentient robot in our lifetime. We won't be walking down the street and go, oh crap, that's a robot, you know? Or maybe we are right now if you watch X-Men. It's a great movie. I think it's beyond our time or lifespan. It's, yes, someday we'll have robots, but it's what your children's children will have to. I hope. Tomorrow they announce, this is our first robot, throwing it into the world just to screw with.
Just because Jeff said this.
I don't know if we'll see sentient robots. We'll definitely be in a society where robots will do a lot more than they do now. And I would not be surprised if I saw something sentient in our lifetime, just because of how quickly technology has advanced, even in the last 10 years and even in my lifetime. Like, and just knowing that would not surprise me. I think if somebody puts their mind to it and this is really what they want to create and they do, we'll put a man on the moon. You know, like, I mean, that's just kind of how I think it just depends on how society evolves. If we get to the point where it's like, yeah, we really want this to happen, it's going to happen. If, you know, everybody freaks out and, you know, legislation gets passed and blah, 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 and everyone says, no, the robots are taking my jobs, and then, you know, people take it away, then I think it'll take a little bit longer for it to happen. That's just my thought. But I really do think that it could happen. I think that if we decided, yes, we want to make a warp drive, if that's what the government really wanted to put all of its, you know, resources into, we could have that in our lifetime. No question. We could, you know, get to Neptune in 6 seconds, like, you know, but it just depends on what us as a society decide that we want to advance in. Do we want to advance in, you know, computers, or do we want to advance in cars or digging or what? You know, like, I don't know. Like, what is a society? Do we want to do medicine? You know?
You know,
I mean, that's what I would prefer that. I would prefer that everyone just concentrate on getting rid of cancer, and then once we figure that out, let's just do everything else. But I don't know.
You know, I was thinking about it, and I think that our future is not necessarily going to end in a robot uprising or in us just being slave masters over, you know, sentient computers, which I agree with Nick. I think we're going to have something very close by the end of our life, because there are people working on it already. I worry about what data they're feeding them to learn things. Google is working on some AIs, and in order to teach them, they fed them like 10,000 romance novels, you know, like the Harley Quinn romance novels. And and that one, I'm like, okay, I guess they're creating a hopeless romantic, I think, maybe. But Microsoft, oh boy, they had this problem where they had this cyborg, or not cyborg, they had this AI that they put out there and said, meet our AI. She's kind of like a teenage girl. and they let people out on Twitter train her, basically.
Oh, I heard and, about
this. and within a day, they got the AI saying, you know, I think Hitler might have been right, and we should have killed all the Jews. And it's like, terrifying. don't just allow your AI to be influenced by anybody. But I think more than AI, we are going to be in a society of cyborgs. I think that we are going to change ourselves to the point. Because think about it. We are kind of cyborgs right now. Everyone walks around with their cell phones and their, you know, Bluetooth headsets and things like that. And they connect their network. Because, you know, the one thing that a sentient AI robot would have over humans, not just one thing, but one of the things it would have over us, is the ability to be networked with every other node.
So you're saying we'll be able to tell the cyborgs because they won't have a phone. They won't be on their phone because it's all in their head. It's good.
Kind of.
When the robot uprising happens, that's how you...
I think the future is kind of more like, you know, people will be more like Seven of Nine than they will be like, you know, the Terminators, though, because you're going to have some implants. I mean, even Geordi in Star Trek was kind of a cyborg because he had robotic implants.
So yeah.
I think that's where our future's headed, into
prosthetic legs.
Exactly.
Might, you know, be robotic so that they can balance better.
Yeah, there's that
stuff like
there's
that.
There's that guy who is a tattoo artist who made who got a prosthetic that has a tattoo gun.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're going to be at the point where we're going to be able to take these advances in robotics and AI and apply them to human beings. And, you know, just because honestly, the sentience part is probably the hardest part that computer scientists are trying to crack, which may or may not be the good thing, the best thing to do.
So,
especially when you have people like Stephen Hawking saying, don't do AI yet. We're not ready for AI. Because what if AI decided that we were the biggest threat to the planet and decided to kill all the humans?
Because we kind of are.
Exactly.
So with the robotic prosthetic, what point do we get to the Darth Vader is more machine man now? Like, at what point does Darth Vader turn from human to robot? You know, in just using that excuse to bring up the quote, but at what point do we just be like, you know what, I want to be able to breathe underwater, take out my lungs, put in gills or whatever, I don't know, robotics, or I want to be able to run faster, I want to do this, I want to do this. At what point are you just like, oh, I'm a machine, I'm not even human?
I think people will get to that point for sure. I mean, just like anything else, people get addicted to changing their bodies, people get addicted to tattoos, piercings, you know, whatever else, food, but just, I'm sure that the plastic surgery, people are addicted to plastic surgery, you know what I mean? I think it'll just be the exact same, you know, scenario. And I'm sure that we'll see people out there that are robot with a brain.
You know, Cory Doctorow has a book called Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom, where they get these implants where it basically backs up their brain constantly to the cloud. And then when the body that they're in dies, it automatically downloads it into another body. And so that's a completely biological body, but it's not necessarily their body. Is that, would you guys consider that a cyborg? Downloading your brain?
Kind of like Dollhouse too.
Kind of downloading your brain into a different body. Would that be a cyborg type thing?
Sure.
Kind of borderlining it. I think a lot of people, if that ever were a possibility, they'd say, oh no, it's not a robot bot. Cyborg. It's not a robot cyborg body. It's still you, but it's just in the body we've grown in 10 minutes. Kind of reminds me of the island where they had clones grown.
Oh, yeah.
Just for organ.
People's that were sick.
Rich people could grow a clone to grow organs, but they didn't know it was clone.
They thought they were just growing the organ. Yeah, anyway.
I liked that movie. It was a good movie.
Boy, fandom sure has thought about a lot of these scenarios for us.
They sure have made me terrified.
Now, the one thing that I'm going to say about fandom is... A story is not a good story without a conflict. So, yes, there are lots of things that could go wrong, but I don't think anybody would buy a book or watch a movie that was just about the average day of a life of a guy in the future without some kind of conflict or, you know, plot climax in there.
Or without something we viewed as a conflict, but it's just null for his future. His whatever self-driving automobile, I don't know why I chose automobiles, but it's like, oh, it's out of X fuel. I need to go get that. And it's just a normal thing for him. Future, you know, scary.
Kind of sounds like a Twilight Zone episode where, you know, or almost like the Soylent Green where, you know, it's just normal, but
yeah,
Soylent Green is people. Spoiler alert.
It's people. Soylent Green is people. You know, Rosebud is the sleds. Bruce Willis was a goat.
All right, guys. So I think this is an interesting topic for us to be in, and there was just some recent news that I thought it'd be fun to talk about. So down to it, I think robots should have some rights, but you know, with the EU decision, I don't think it's about robot rights and being ahead of the game futuristically. I think it's they want to charge them taxes is essentially what it is. They want to charge them social security taxes and things like that, and robots are never going to claim social security. So
does a robot need to get paid? I mean, that's another argument there. It's like, if you were made for a job and we keep you functioning to do said job, do you need compensation? We're keeping you alive.
So what about an artist? I know a lot of artists that would claim their art keeps them alive, and that is the one thing that they are driven to do. So would, just because you're a human, how does that change things? If the one purpose that you have in life is to create amazing art, does that mean that we shouldn't pay artists?
Absolutely.
What do you think about that, Nick?
Something that I struggle with every day.
You love art, but you want to get paid for it, right?
Yeah, and spending time on doing the thing that I love, will it be able to financially, you know, support my family so that we can live? Because it's not just me that needs to live off of this. So yeah.
Yeah. You know, fandoms have kind of, wow, we have quite the story to, and we have a lot of stories left that we haven't quite tapped into yet. So do you guys have any other comments on AI before we wrap things up?
Futures.
I, for one, want to be a cyborg.
You heard it here first. Nick will be our first Cyberman.
Whoa. He said cyborg, like DC character, Cyberman, man. You don't want to be a Cyberman. There's no fun.
Like, literally what I would want is that I could just, like, have my... So what I picture is, like, you know, the Yu-Gi-Oh, like, discs that they have on their arm.
Dual disc.
Have one of those in... Yeah, the dual disc. That's what it's called. I would have that with a palette, and then I could just, like, push a button, and all my paints would be right there for me, and then, like, I could just have a paintbrush immediately and just, like, just paint, like, anytime.
Yeah, but then you run into the, like, problem happy to of, do that. Well, you're just printing... You're a robot, so you're just printing a picture you see. It's...
Yep, I am a robot. They call me Nickbot 9000.
No one has Nick ever...
Nickbot 9000.
No one has ever called you only.
That's actually an incorrect statement on your part.
I'm sure.
I have a friend. We call him Robot 9000, and his name is Robbot, and I was Nickbot. We had another friend,
that
too.
That reminds me how Bobcat Gold, he got it because insult a buddy called... Anyway, he was like, his friend said, I'll be such and such cat, and I'll be Tomcat, and I'll be Bobcat, but no one else is known as the East Hills Bobcat.
That's funny.
You know, I think we're not too far out from being cyborgs, and I think people are closer to being willing to accept it than anything else, because a few years back, I had a bald spot come in on the side of my head because of stress and stuff like that, and... It was right above my ear, and it was like this perfect circle. And I had a couple of people ask me, well, what's going on there? And so I told them, well, I had to shave it because I went in to get one of those new Wi-Fi implants so that I can just always be connected to the internet. And I don't know if it says more about me or more about them, but it was, oh, I didn't know they had those yet. That's cool.
That's really funny.
They just assumed I would do
it. That's awesome. That's really funny. Artificial hearts or cyborg.
That's parts, true. Right? That's true. Pacemakers. You got pacemakers.
Artificial lungs. But they're like outside, I guess. Yeah, we're not far away at all. I think we're just going to be it pretty soon. Fake teeth, cyborg. Oh wait,
no, I'm calling you on that.
George Washington was a cyborg.
What about hearing aids?
Again, you know, these are like...
they make hearing aids that will pair with your phone, and so they're Bluetooth pair with your phone, so you can be using your hearing aids to listen to podcasts.
I know. I want one so bad. I think that'd be so cool.
I think that is a cybernetic implant. Just saying, it goes inside of you.
Like you're like, oh, this is my hearing aid. And like, you're not supposed to listen to music at work. This is my hearing aid. I can't hear you without it. What are you listening to? I'm listening to you talk to me right now. Why do you keep singing?
My bad.
I just sing. That's what I do. My bad.
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny. Well, thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast. If you want to contribute to the discussion, you know, tell us what fandom our future is going to be most like. Are we going to be in a Star Trek utopia or, you know, a Matrix cold wasteland, or are we going to just all be cyborgs walking around? Reach out to us at fandompodcast.com/contact, facebook.com/fandompodcast, or feedback@fandompodcast.com. So be sure to subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, any other podcast player of your choice. Until next time,
number 5 is alive.
Sometimes I told you so just doesn't quite say it.
May the fandom be with you.